Hi, Kansas City. This is Every Woman, and I'm Christina Frazier, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Una Nowlin.
Hello, nice to meet you.
And Fiona is also here.
Hello.
And we had a little technical difficulty because this is the second in our Wonder Woman series, and we played Hot Stuff instead of the Wonder Woman theme. Yeah, but so we'll get that next time because it's pretty awesome. But we're here with, and I'm excited to be here with Rhonda Line and Sandra Freeman. And Rhonda Line is executive director of the Midwest Music Foundation. And Sandra Freeman is director of promotions and artistic relations also for the Midwest Music Foundation. And we also are joined in the studio by Casey Rausch and also her niece, Isla. And we're hoping to be joined a little bit later by Molly Hammer, who is also a musician, a local musician, as is Casey. But I wanted to just give a little bit of history about the Midwest Music Foundation of Kansas City, just so everybody kind of knows what that is. And the reason why we've invited Rhonda and Sandra here today is because they are... They helped found the foundation, and they're instrumental in keeping it going and having it be an outreach to musicians. And so they're just exceptional women in the community, and that's what we wanted to give them a voice and talk about them today. So the Midwest Music Foundation of Kansas City supports a healthy and vibrant music community and a thriving regional artistic economy. And their goals are to strengthen musicians' health through wellness services and healthcare grants, advance artists' careers by providing performance and educational opportunities, and provide access to a growing network of industry professionals. But one of the main things that they do is related to health, and I think we all know that, for one thing, the artists in the community really bring a lot to a community, but oftentimes musicians and artists are not, they don't have health care. And so the Midwest Music Foundation was started by a woman named Abigail Henderson. And on tour in New Orleans with her band, the Gaslights, Abigail began experiencing abdominal pain. Packing only a copy of one of the band's albums, she visited the New Orleans Musicians Clinic, a comprehensive health services provider for working musicians without health insurance. Abby was diagnosed with a hernia and received treatment instructions she could rely on throughout the remainder of her tour. Feeling gratitude for the care she received in New Orleans, Abby returned to Kansas City with a vision to create healthcare, a healthcare coalition for her fellow musicians at home in Kansas City. Her plans stalled when she was diagnosed with stage 3 inflammatory breast cancer. The Kansas City Music Community came to her aid, and through a benefit concert in 2008, Apocalypse Meow, which gave Abby and her husband and bandmate Chris Meck a platform on which to establish a coalition now known as the Midwest Music Foundation. In August of 2013, Abby passed away at the age of 36 after a long, hard-fought battle with cancer. Her passion for music is the deepest inspiration for the MMF, which continues to provide musicians with opportunities for career development. Abby's Fund for Musicians' Health Care was established in her memory and dispenses funds to the area to area musicians in need of emergency medical care. And so that just kind of gives you a little background of the foundation. So can you... Rhonda and Sandra, can you kind of take us back to the beginnings of the foundation and talk a little bit about Abby?
Yeah, Abby was a local musician, and I knew her through her band. I used to live in Manhattan, Kansas, and they'd stay at my house. And when I moved to Kansas City, shortly after that's when she was diagnosed with breast cancer. So a group of her friends and the music community kind of rallied together to plan the first Apocalypse Meow to help her out. And Abby and some others had already kind of had this inkling that they wanted to start something, but her diagnosis really progressed that along, and she swore the first night of that benefit that first year she'd give back to the music community that helped her. So that's kind of how it got started, and it's just grown over the years. And when we lost Abby, both Sandra and I made her promise to keep it going.
So that kind of galvanized everything, because she was already interested in it, but at first she just had a hernia. But then when she was diagnosed, everybody rallied around and really made it happen. Is that?
Yeah, definitely. The music community really came together. We had so many bands that wanted to play. We had to do 3 nights of the benefit.
Mm-hmm. And so, of course, I think a lot of people would want to know where the name came from.
That was actually named by Tony Lattice, who's a local musician and filmmaker. Abby just had,
liked a kitty.
She liked the kitties, but she also had a weird quirk of, during stage banter, she'd say meow or meowsers. So Apocalypse Meow was, based on the movie Apocalypse Now. So we had that kind of motif, and, we were Abigail's army fighting cancer. So kind of had the little military hats, and it just kind of, the name kind of stuck from there. And so it was based on her fighting spirit. And
November, I think that's we had Apocalypse Meow 10.
I think that's a really great team building effort to go through for something like that, to really pull everyone together and really get the spirit up. That's a fantastic idea.
And so you both were just friends at first? So.
I was not involved in the first one. Oh. Actually, I didn't know them yet. I met them. I attended Apocalypse Meow 2, and then I was involved with 3. Yeah. And I met Rhonda at a show. She had a little table set up, her and Mary, and they were trying to let everybody know about this thing they were trying to do called the Midwest Music Foundation. And I said, hey, that sounds like something I want to do too. And here we are.
So what is your background, Rhonda?
Well, by day, I'm actually a scientist, so I don't really have a background in this at all.
Oh, this is like a superhero, right? By day, a scientist.
She's a green scientist.
And then by night is like,
Yeah, so I don't really have a background, although I worked with other charitable causes. My cousin actually had a foundation. She had a daughter that was born deafblind, and so we used to do pub crawls and taco feeds and everything for that. So I had some background, but basically just a group of friends. We all got together and did that first benefit. And so that's kind of, and then as the years progressed, people left the organization and Abby passed. So just my role kind of increased every year after that.
So were you involved in the music scene?
I've always, like I said, I met Abby because her band used to stay at my house. So I had it was called Hotel Rhonda. Bands would stay at my house. I've always been a fan. I'm not a musician. Mm-hmm. But I think the scientist nature helps me organize all this, which we always call it herding cats, because mm-hmm.
yeah,
musicians tend to be more on the creative side. Sometimes the organizational side is not there so much.
So you have something coming up. Is that
yeah,
right?
We have and I'll let Sandra, because she booked it, talk about it.
All right.
Tonight, I was about to say tomorrow night is tonight. It's our final fundraiser for Midcoast Takeover. Midcoast Takeover is we have a stage in Austin, Texas during the festival that shall not be named. it happens down the street, the largest music festival in the country. And we showcase Kansas City bands to a national audience.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's amazing. And this is year 8 or 9?
9.
9, yeah. And anyway, it costs money to do this, lots of it. And we have sponsors and all that help out a lot. But then we also do a series of fundraiser shows to help mm-hmm. offset the cost of showing off Kansas City in Austin. And the last one is tonight at the Brick. And Vidco Cult and The Travel Guide and Vigil and Thieves are playing.
Oh, wow.
The doors are at 9 o'clock.
So, Sandra, what is your... So, you said you met Rhonda at a show. And so, what's your connection to the music scene or just the scene in Kansas City?
I basically just tell people that I'll never live long enough or do enough to give back to what music's done for saved my life every day.
And what do you mean by that?
Just... I don't know where I would have ended up without my headphones when I was a kid. Just things like that.
And what, so did music, was it an escape for you, or
oh,
was
yes.
it an inspiration
yes.
for you?
Or all of it.
All of it? Okay. So did you grow up here in Kansas City?
I was born here, and we lived here until I was almost in junior high. And then I grew up in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. But I've been back here for 25 years now.
So what music were you listening to in Arkansas at the time?
Everything.
Everything?
Everything. And I was I still had the Kansas City roots, and I would come back and forth and had the boyfriend that worked in the record store.
Oh, cool.
That.
Okay.
So I was the one throwing all the Jane's Addiction and all that stuff at my classmates, and they were looking at me like I was insane. And then, but I was also listening to all the normal. I mean, I'll make a playlist now, and it'll have Prodigy and George Strait on it. So it's everything. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes doing what I do for the Midwest Music Foundation fun for me, because I can play with having all different kinds of music, you know, showcased on different things.
Because that's kind of your background. You have kind of a mixed bag of influences.
Yeah, there's very, very little music genres that I just don't like at all.
What was the scene like in Arkansas?
Wasn't one. I grew up in that town. My graduating class was 29.
Oh, I see.
I didn't really know that music, even live music, really outside of cover bands, existed until I moved to Fayetteville. And then all of a sudden, working in bars, and there were bands, and they were playing their own music, and it changed the way I. Mm-hmm. It was very eye opening time. From like 18 to 21 was. It changed. Look, it isn't just on records. It's a thing, and people make this. You know, I didn't really realize that until I got to Fayetteville.
So, Rhonda, can you tell us a little bit about, the foundation, it sounds kind of like there's sort of equal parts of helping to promote the musicians, local musicians, and also the healthcare component. So,
yeah, we just do anything we can to support the artists, to make being a musician a viable career. That was something that was really important to Abby. It shouldn't be a hobby. You should be able to make a living being a musician. So we provide the safety net for the healthcare, and then ways to educate them and ways to promote them.
We used to joke with Abby that she wanted being a musician that your mom didn't cry when you told her.
Oh, right. That's good. I think we're going to go to a break pretty soon. And so we'll be back, and we'll talk a little bit more with Rhonda and Sandra, and also Casey.
Hi, I'm Barry Lee, host of Signal to Noise here on KKFI, and you're invited to a special listening party at Vinyl Renaissance, 7932 Santa Fe Drive in Overland Park, Kansas, on Sunday, March 4th at 1 p.m. We will discuss and listen to Buffalo Springfield's final album, Last Time Around, on high-end stereo equipment. This event is a benefit for KKFI.
I am a child. I last a while.
Hey, it's Junebug, and it's that time again for the Blues Kitchen Live. Going to go down at BB's Lawnside Barbecue on March 10th on Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Make sure you wear your pajamas. This is a benefit for KKFI, your community radio station. Don't forget, Bloody Marys, breakfast, and blues. We've got the Big Three with John Paul Drum, also Taylor Smith Band. It's going to be a rockin' time. It's the Blues Kitchen Live at BB's Lawnside Barbecue. That's March 10th, Saturday morning, 8 a.m. Hope to see you there. You can get more information and ticket info at kkfi.org.
KKFI's 30th anniversary celebration will be held June 30th at the Folly Theater. This fundraiser for KKFI will include a VIP reception at 6 p.m., KKFI history presentation and founders panel at 7 p.m. The show starts at 8 with two all-star house bands backing up at least 15 different artists of very different styles. We'll be celebrating the diverse, unique programming of KKFI live on stage at the Folly Theater on June 30th. Hosted by KKFI DJs, so you know we'll have a good time. VIP passes are $90, and reserve seats are as low as $15. Please come and be a part of KKFI's history at the Folly Theater on June 30th. KKFI.org/events for tickets and information. VIP reception, KKFI history, two all-star bands, well over 15 styles of music represented, all hosted by KKFI's programmers. KKFI.org/events to get your tickets today.
Hi, everybody. We're back with Rhonda Line and Sandra Freeman of the Midwest Music Foundation, and we also have Casey Rausch in the studio with us. I wanted to talk to you, Rhonda, just a little bit more about the healthcare component of your foundation and how important that is to the musicians.
Yeah, most musicians don't have insurance, or if they do, it's a catastrophic policy, which doesn't even kick in until you've had thousands of dollars of bills. So basically, Abby's Fund is a safety net. So if a musician has any kind of medical emergency, they can apply for a grant, and we offer quick support. It may not be a lot, but it's just enough to help them while they find other resources. We've also partnered, we're calling them the Rock Docs. It's doctors from University of Kansas and the Wyandotte Community Health Council. And we did a free musicians health care clinic last year during Crossroads Music Festival. And we're going to do that again. We've got the mobile mammogram unit booked for that in September, so to help female musicians out. We gave away custom earplugs because hearing loss is a real issue. We also want to start working more with substance abuse because that's another issue in the music community. And so basically we're just there to help them, guide them to other resources as needed.
And help them with preventative care or to get checked out before something catastrophic
happens.
Is that what you're, I think, weren't you at Folk Alliance?
The Rock Docs were at Folk Alliance. Uh-huh.
And is that what their role is to get musicians in early?
Yeah, definitely. We want to do more of the preventative care side. Up until then, we just kind of helped as a safety net if they had a medical emergency, but we'd like to get them in. We've partnered with Casey Care Clinic and some of the other providers, and we want to do more of that in the future.
Okay, that's great. So, Sandra, what does Kansas City, what is the word on the street as far as our artists here, or do we need to get do we need to get people more involved with knowing that we have musicians and we have music coming from the Midwest, or what's
actually, something very interesting just happened exactly on that front. UNESCO, we got designated as a music city for the United Nations. And it's a huge deal. It's a very big deal. And the mayor and the mayor pro tem, they're kind of floundering a little bit right now, figuring out how to make the most of it, but eventually it's going to be hopefully a catalyst for a lot of focus on our jazz district. At first it will be the 18th in line, the jazz district and everything, so hopefully that's going to help us out a lot, and then from there we can spring it into what a original music scene thriving music community we have here, and not just the jazz, but the blues and the rock and roll and everything. And like Abigail used to say, being in a flyover state, we just have to kick so hard to get out and be heard, because we're not on a coast or in Austin or something like that. It's hard to get outside attention, but I think everybody that lives around here is pretty aware of it.
Pretty plugged in.
I think so. Maybe I'm just in a bubble, though.
What's the music scene like for musicians these days as far as making a living? And how does your organization support that?
It is...
Because I know things have changed.
Yeah.
With technology, and, I guess I don't know very much about this, but my understanding is that the live shows are where people make their money now, over their...
Yeah, merch is more of a tool to get people to your live shows. It's not, you don't really make as much money on that stuff. But, it's a struggle to make a living performing, too. So Casey could probably tell you better than me, but that is part of what we want to do, is help educate on how to brand yourself and how to make it a business, because we want it to be a viable occupation. Mm-hmm. We don't want you to need our help, for medical stuff, but right now it's very tough to actually suss out a living performing, and you have to be smart about it. You have to treat it. You have to treat yourself like a business.
Yeah, and we actually talked about that last week, where you know health care is sort of this. You know, you have to have your health in order to work and in order to be a professional musician or so. So it makes sense that you guys are connecting those two things together.
Right. And I mean, if you think about it, you break your leg and you can't perform. Mm-hmm. And if that's your income, what are you going to do?
Right.
So, and that's where the safety net we provide really kicks in for smaller things like that, when you just can't pay your rent, you know, and that's where we started. Yeah, that's where MMF started. We can just be a safety net, and we're growing into having been involved with doctors and clinics and all that stuff is just, you know, a dream come true for us, because we just started by having rent checks.
Yeah, which is amazing that you've built it into what it is. And so how many musicians and do you, how many people do you help? How many can you?
Rhonda's the stats girl. She can talk.
The
she
scientist.
Keeps all the, I'm the ADD weirdo. She's the stats girl.
Well, so far we've helped over 100 musicians and given out over 121,000. Basically, everyone we've been fortunate. We've been able to help everyone in some way that's come to us. I think we're getting more and more applications each year as more people find out about it. Before, it was just kind of people we knew, and now we're getting applications from people we don't know. And so that's a good sign that the word's getting out there.
And that's for the healthcare part. What about the as far as the people that are in Austin, or how many musicians you support, like with their careers?
We have around 100 bands that go down. We do a main stage with full bands and an acoustic stage. So it's a little under 100 this year, and some years it's been over 100. And in past, we've had up to 200 or 300 bands apply. So
wow,
you know that
from
reaches
all over the world.
Yeah, we have this year. I think we have a band from Denmark. It's, mm-hmm. The majority is Kansas City, but we also put a few national acts on there just to have some name recognition, because some of the artists here aren't well known. You know, they don't tour much outside, and that's another thing. I think doing the showcase gives them experience booking a tour, because we encourage everyone, don't just drive down and play your one set, book a tour, book interviews, you know, make the most of your trip down to Austin, because it's really expensive.
Speaking of making the most of that, if you're playing our stage in Austin and you're listening to this, please get your hiney to the brick tonight and support your stage. Okay, Mom Sondra out. Now we go back to normal Sondra now.
So, Casey, if you could pull up to the mic, Casey, you're a musician, a local musician, and so can you tell us from your perspective what the foundation means to you personally and to the community?
Yeah, I am a big fan of the Midwest Music Foundation for multiple reasons. I've gotten support on so many levels from them, not only by being given a platform to share my music on multiple occasions, be it in Austin or here for some of the Apocalypse Meow events or whatnot, but I also was a recipient of a grant several years ago when I ended up having some healthcare issues, and I'm one of the lucky ones in that I have health insurance through my spouse. However, we all know that doesn't make all of the bills go away. There's still a large responsibility left over usually, and MMF came in and helped me with my mortgage that month. And just having that one bill relieved for a month gave me so much more room to breathe and do what I needed to do. And also they gave me advice on how to negotiate with my insurance company. So it was, there was the financial support, there was the educational support, and then also just being able to take that deep breath and not have to worry about my mortgage for a month. Mm-hmm. Offered me a lot of healing support, because it took that stress away, and you gotta be able to relax if you want to heal. So that was huge. And then also last September, when they did the Rock Docs at the Crossroads Music Fest, I met my new healthcare general practitioner. I met a doctor there that I really resonated with for the first time, and I mean, I hadn't had a general checkup in over 20 years. And so now, because of the Rock Docs, I'm scheduled an actual appointment besides just seeing her there on site at the music fest, and had my full blood work panel done up and got good reports, and woohoo, I'm in good shape. And even that was a huge relief, just to know, okay, my blood work came back okay, I'm doing all right. So yeah, MMF has been instrumental. Hey, see what I did there? She's funny, folks. And in my well-being in Kansas City as a full-time musician.
Do you find that doctors treat you differently because of your profession? Do you think that they all assume you must all be drugged out addicts and treat you as a statistic?
Well, not this doctor I found through Rock Docs, but in the past, yeah. I did everything I could to avoid doctors for a long time because of the judgment that came. And in fact, I'm one of the rare people that will hardly even touch a pharmaceutical. I'll hardly take an Advil. And yeah, doctors aren't used to that. So indeed, you know, I think a lot of people who are on a different tier of financial success can tend to look down at people who are less financially able. And it's unfortunate that that's the way, but thank goodness there are the good folks like MMF and the people that they connect with to form the Rock Docs that don't have that attitude. I was treated with nothing but respect through the Rock Docs.
That must be a really reassuring change.
Indeed.
And I know there's all sorts of studies that say that the treatment and healing outcomes are so much better when you have a rapport with a doctor and get treated with respect.
Yeah.
People follow the instructions so much better.
Yeah, when you feel like that they're actually listening to you and hearing you and not just ready to write you a script for something, you know, and send you on your way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Makes all the difference.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that kind of taps into just an overall need for there to just to be more people who are doctors who come from different walks of life, because there is a rampant issue with doctors judging certain types of people, whether it's for their skin color or for what kind of profession that they have. And it's, they have done tons of studies that show that that people who are different can get different care.
Mm-hmm. We have to. It is it is urgent in this country that we remove the stigma from substance abuse issues. It's killing people. Mm-hmm. That they the lack of being able or feeling like you can get help without judgment is killing people, literally, as we speak.
And also,
and we have to do
it's not just musicians
that
have substance abuse.
Exactly. It is,
I mean, there
it
are housewives, soccer moms that have the
it
same
is more
problem.
Prominent in our profession. You know, we see it every day. Mm-hmm. But it is an epidemic, I mean, worldwide in every walk of life. Mm-hmm. But In our profession specifically, we just have to work on each other to remove the stigma. Work on the person sitting next to you. If they've never experienced it in their life, tell them your experiences with it so they can put a human face to it. Mm-hmm. People that haven't been affected by it don't understand. And it's killing our friends. Mm-hmm. So,
indeed.
So, Rhonda, you don't have a mic. So have you seen an increase? Have you seen the increase in substance abuse, like opiate abuse, in the last few years?
We definitely are aware of it. You know, we don't, with us all being, one thing about the organization is none of us are full-time. Well, we work full-time, but we also have full-time jobs. It's all volunteers. Mm-hmm. So, but we have had a few come to us that we've helped, and we know some friends that we've lost to it recently, and so we know it's an issue.
So is that why in the future because you mentioned that's something that you guys are working toward is to focus a little bit
Steve
more?
Steve Tulipana actually brought the issue up to us.
And who's that?
He's the owner of the Record Bar.
Oh, okay.
We just want to be more vocal about it going forward.
I see. So
not shy away from it ourselves as an organization.
Uh-huh. So people know that they have a safe place with you.
Yes.
No matter what.
No matter what.
Casey, do you can you tell us a little bit about your music?
Yeah, I'm a fifth generation music maker and songwriter. I've been gigging since I was 15 years old. Played my first gig in 1990 in Parkville, Missouri, just across the river with my family. And I was living in Texas at the time, though, born here, raised in Texas, and moved back to Kansas City in 1993 and started gigging shortly thereafter with my best friend, Miss Mikhail Shapiro, who used to co-host River Trade Radio with me on Sunday mornings here on KKFI.
Mm-hmm.
And so she and I just started kind of supporting each other through, all my gigs before had been kind of, I'd be more in the background, just picking along with my family or supporting somebody else on rhythm guitar. And when I met Mikhail, she and I kind of supported each other to a large degree to start putting our own songs out there. And And then we've both just kind of gone our own paths musically, but now I have been touring nationally with my bandmate Marco Pasqualini as the country duo, and play locally with a five-piece honky-tonk band called the Naughty Pines.
I like that name.
And then I play upright bass with Scott Stanton and the Butter Band, and Scott is also one of my co-hosts on River Trade Radio on Sunday mornings.
So do you have a song to play for us today?
Sure. I'll play the song that it's on the new album that the Country Duo just put out, but I wrote it sitting in Winfield, Kansas, which a lot of folks know for the Walnut Valley Festival that happens the third weekend of every September. My dad and his family are from Winfield, so for us it's a big family reunion every year. And this particular year, I had gone out to camp earlier than I ever had before because all of a sudden I was an empty nester. My kids are grown now and had both moved out, and so it was the first year I had an opportunity to go extra early. And it was also a year that a lot of my family couldn't make it. And just the prior year, my cousin and I were sitting around talking about how soon we would be the elders of this camp. And then here the next year, a lot of the elders couldn't make it for various reasons. So I was kind of holding down fort until some of the other cousins and stuff showed up. And I was by myself. And I had also recently quit a full-time job to really do music full-time. And so I went with some goals that year to practice a bunch of songs and write. And I woke up the first morning there, and I'd already practiced all the songs I wanted to practice. And so I realized, this is the time to write. And this song just spilled out as I was just kind of looking around our campground where we've camped for over 30 years in the same space, and noticing all the changes. So this is called A Girl Again. Wish I was a girl again with my head on mama's lap. She'd run her fingers through my curls and up and down my back. She'd sing a song of morning time and put a kiss upon my head. I wish I was a girl again, but I'm a grown woman instead. I'm not who I once was. I'm older now. I'm older now. If I live beyond these years, my thin disguise may be revealed. A girl again. If I was a girl again, I'd find a circle round with guitar pickers and good time singers, and there I'd settle down. They'd sing the songs from the good old days and pick into the night. If I was a girl again and my eyes were open wide. But I'm not who I once was. I'm older now. I'm older now. If I live beyond years, my thin disguise may disappear. A girl again. If I was a woman of old, I'd pull you close to me. There we'd sit beneath the stars, keeping company. We'd sing the songs from the days of gold, hold each other tight. If I was a woman old, waiting for the night. But I'm not who I will be. I'm younger now. I'm younger now. If I live beyond what I can see, might learn to be all of me. A woman again.
Thank you.
Thanks, y'all. Thank you.
That was A Girl Again by Casey Rauch.
That was fantastic. That was wonderful. What it was.
Thank you. Thank you. We got to record that out at the Legendary Sun Studio in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
And so that was a big honor. So that's the record it just came out on.
Oh. That's great. Well, I think we have Molly Hammer, who is also a musician, and she's on the line. And hello, Molly.
Hi. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi, Molly. You remember
Hi.
Me. You played, you sang Summer Samba for me at the Green Lady Lounge, and it was so awesome, and I was dancing up by the stage when you
that.
Sang it.
Yes. So, that was great, Casey. I loved it.
So, Molly, can you... tell us a little bit about how how you've been affected by the foundation.
Well, I'm about 10 years into a journey with breast cancer, and 2 years ago I had a recurrence of the breast cancer. It came as a shock to me at a time I wasn't expecting it, and I had no medical insurance at the time. Without even reaching out, I got a message from VTran telling me that there were resources available, and I just had to fill out a short form. It was very easy to fill out, which I did, and within a couple of weeks, I received a check from Rhonda and the foundation for $1,000, which was just touched me greatly. So it was a pretty huge, huge deal for me at that time. It was a time of just pretty intense turmoil and lots of questions, and it went a long way toward helping with what we needed at the time.
So had you heard about the foundation before you were sick? Or
yes, I had heard about the foundation before. I knew it was out there, but it just wasn't in my mind to ask or reach out. So it was pretty incredible that, you know, V reached out to me without me having to do anything.
Wow, that's like,
yeah,
that's see, that's superpowers is what that is.
It really is, and it just says a lot about the music community in Kansas City and how we're all there for one another. You know, pretty incredible.
That's why we call it a music community and not a music scene.
Oh wow,
yeah,
I didn't think.
Yeah,
about
I love that.
Mm-hmm. So, how are you? How's your health?
You know, it's stage four situation, so it's kind of it's something that we monitor, and I'm doing very well. I have a lot of energy, and I'm out gigging all the time. You know, every weekend I have at least one show. So I ended up being able to get on Kansas Medicaid because of the stage four status of the cancer. So I'm able to get good medical care through KU, and we just kind of keep it monitored, and I'm on certain drugs that sort of just hold everything at bay. But, you know, that initial donation, you know, it took about 8 months for me to get on Medicaid. It's such a very complicated, long, drawn-out process. Mm-hmm. I can't even describe. So getting that initial money from the foundation at the beginning, it just was incredibly helpful. Mm-hmm. Because there was about 8 months where I didn't know what was going to happen.
I think we can't understate the hope that getting that money immediately gives, you know, where Casey
yes.
with her mortgage and you with the $1,000, I think it sort of gives you hope that other people are going to help you and that you
yes.
can do this, as opposed to getting a diagnosis and then all of a sudden, you know, you fall into the rabbit hole. It seems
yeah.
like psychologically, which would also manifest itself physically, really makes a huge
it
difference.
Would, yeah.
To do this, to you know, to
it does, and there's a lot of questions at the beginning. You don't know what's going to happen, and everything feels in turmoil. You feel like you've been thrust into some crazy. it's just hard to describe, and so having to not worry as much about the financial aspect, it just takes a weight off, mm-hmm. and that's really huge.
So has the foundation also help you connect with gigs or other musicians or other things?
I don't know that I don't think I have used the foundation in that respect. I've been kind of in the scene, in the jazz, I will say the jazz scene mm-hmm. for a while, and so I kind of do all that stuff on my own. Mm-hmm. But I know that they do that for a lot of people, and that's a very valuable resource.
I think I heard Casey say that she was involved with the Artist Inc. program, and you were also. Can you tell us a little
bit? We were in the same class.
Oh, great.
Casey and I were in the same class.
Can you tell me what that is?
Well, it's a weekly course. I think it was an eight-week course. You have to apply for it and then get accepted. And Casey and I were accepted into the same class, I want to say 2013. And every Monday you meet and you learn one aspect. You learn about social media on one Monday, or you learn about doing taxes as a self-employed artist. It's just basically to teach you how to be a better business person as an artist. And then you have a small group that you kind of study intensely with, and it's more about feedback, and it's an invaluable thing here in Kansas City for artists.
When did that start? When did that begin? Do you know?
Gosh, it had been going a while when Casey and I went through it in 2013, so I want to say somewhere around 2009 or 10, but I can't say for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would guess, 9 or 10, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that helped, so that helped you to, both of you, to get your career more, just more professional as far as making sure you mm-hmm. get paid and making sure you have a sort of a plan.
They really helped teach artists how to ask for what you need and how to not be so shy to speak up and say what you need and to quit undercutting ourselves. Hi, Molly, by the way.
Hi, Casey.
So, Molly, your music is mainly jazz, is that right?
Yep, that's right.
So where do you typically play?
Oh, it's awesome jazz. And bossa nova.
I typically play at the Green Lady Lounge a few times a month, or Chaz on the Plaza. I do a monthly there. I do a brunch at a fair, which is a German restaurant, the Crossroads. I'm at Corvino Supper Club tonight, and I do, you know, once or twice a month there. So just kind of around town.
Mm-hmm. So you are a full-time musician?
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. And you have been for how long?
I want to say for 4 or 5 years I've been doing pretty exclusively. Like, I'll take a small little, you know, I'll nanny once or twice a week sometimes, that kind of thing. But for the most part, I am a full-time musician for the past 4 or 5 years.
Don't you even have a drink named after you at the Green Lady Lounge?
I do.
That's what I thought.
Well, what is the drink? We want to know.
Well, the owner said the mango latte that he had at the Indian restaurant reminded him of me, and he wanted to make a drink and name it after
me. That's a nice compliment.
You know, I love mango latte, so I believe it's a drink made with mango latte.
Oh.
Yeah.
Have you had it before?
I have. It's a little sweet for me, but I do like it. He also gives me $1 out of every... Since the cancer returned, he's given me $1 out of every drink sold, which is just another way of, you know, the music community giving back.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're right. It is a community versus a scene. I can see what you guys are talking about now.
A community is a scene, but with love.
Yeah, that's what
right.
A community
is
a family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's really good to talk with you. And
thank you so much.
Yeah, and I think we're going to go to a break here, and then...
All right.
Yes,
okay,
we're just going to have a short break for a minute, and then we will return, so...
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Molly.
Bye, Molly.
Bye-bye.
KKFI's 30th anniversary celebration will be held June 30th at the Folly Theater. This fundraiser for KKFI will include a VIP reception at 6 p.m., KKFI history presentation and founders panel at 7 p.m. The show starts at 8 with two all-star house bands backing up at least 15 different artists of very different styles. We'll be celebrating the diverse, unique programming of KKFI live on stage at the Folly Theater on June 30th. Hosted by KKFI DJs, so you know we'll have a good time. VIP passes are $90 and reserve seats are as low as $15. Please come and be a part of KKFI's history at the Folly Theater on June 30th. kkfi.org/events for tickets and information. VIP reception, KKFI history, 2 all-star bands, well over 15 styles of music represented, all hosted by KKFI's programmers. kkfi.org/events to get your tickets today.
Okay, we're back, and we're back with Rhonda Line and Sandra Friedman of the Midwest Music Foundation, and then we have Casey Rausch and her niece Isla also in with us today in the studio. So, Sandra, could you talk a little bit about what's happening tonight at the Brick again?
Our third and final fundraiser for the Midcoast Takeover, which again, if you're just tuning in, is our stage in Austin, Texas, during the largest music festival in the country that shall not be named by me on the radio because their lawyers told me not to. So,
oh, brother.
Right. Oh, brother.
Whatever.
Right. But I'm thankful for the platform that mm-hmm. they provide, regardless of their stuck-uppiness. But anyway.
Well, you had to pay for it, though, right?
What? We're an unofficial
showcase.
Yeah,
we're not involved with that festival anyway.
Oh, I see. Oh, well.
There's several, but we're thankful that it's, you know.
There's tons. There's the official things, and then there's tons.
Like Off-Broadway or something.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Where all the cool stuff happens.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Right? Yeah.
We're doing what they set out to do. We're still doing what they started doing back in the day.
Yeah, because I've heard it that what they're doing is all lame now, so.
What we're doing mm-hmm. is how it started.
And sign bands. A lot of mm-hmm. the officials become pretty corporate and Lady Gaga selling Doritos. And
right. Yeah.
Please.
We don't need any of that. But we have community and local beer sponsors, thanks to the Bridge and Boulevard. You know, those are the people that we get. You know, we don't have McDonald's or Spotify or anything like that. So
praise the Lord, you know.
Right. And it also, to me now, staying that way, staying the DIY artist thing is even more of a big deal to me now that our friend Lewis Myers passed away a couple years ago, and he was one of the original founders of that festival, and he left it because of the straying away from the intent mm-hmm. of it to begin with, and mm-hmm. keeping our thing that way is a little more important to me now because he was very dear to me. So
yeah, well, I mean, I think it's great that we have our local companies also supporting mm-hmm. that stage because, I mean, that keeps it like
taking the
real
beer down,
you know,
there. We got Kansas City beer. We got, you know,
that's great.
You know, it's a Kansas City love fest, and that and it's fun because everybody that's down there performing, whether they're official and unofficial or anything, it's kind of home base, you know, for mm-hmm. everybody from Kansas City. And mm-hmm. we've had some really great pictures taken there of all the people down there and everything. And the funniest thing, I think, is how everybody just hugs the snot out of me as soon as they come through the back gate. And I'm like, I just saw you 3 days ago, dude. And they're like, but now we're in Texas. You know? it's a really great chance for Rhonda and I to really put our hands on the people that we're helping, and mm-hmm. the camaraderie is just, I mean, it's palpable mm-hmm. when we get down there. The common goal and the camaraderie is intoxicating. It really
is. You know, I had no idea. I knew about the healthcare component, but I did not realize that you are really trying to promote mm-hmm. our local bands and just sort of the bands of this area, which is amazing. I mean, that's so needed.
We think it's important.
I was listening to something. They were talking about, you know, even after Prince passed away, they were talking about how, you know, Minneapolis has a great scene.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody knows about who's up
it's
there.
It's really great.
And
yeah.
So, I mean, we kind of suffer from that, too, I think, you know, where people maybe outside the area don't know that we have a lot of great.
They have the same Midwestern problems we do, except it's cold up there, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, come on. What do you expect them to do?
I'll say the opposite is also true. I find that when I'm talking to folks in the Kansas City area that maybe aren't quite as connected to our music community, they're just shocked as all get out that some of us really are getting out there and gigging mm-hmm. nationally and even internationally. Some folks from Kansas City are getting out of the country and making music too. And so I think it's even kind of in our own Kansas City area here, some folks just don't realize how good we got it here in a lot of ways.
Like a lot of people just are stay here and are based out of here, not only because it's their home, but it's the only place they can afford.
Right.
It's because the cost of living, mm-hmm. you know, fortunately for us, knock on something, is still very reasonable here.
And so, as a touring musician, I find our landlocked central heart of the America location to be ideal, because in 8 hours I can get to Chicago, Nashville, right. Dallas, or Denver. Any direction, 8 hours, and I'm in another major city. So mm-hmm. it's an easy place to be, have a base, home base from.
Mm-hmm. Aren't there a lot of people moving here from other places?
Yes.
I mean, lots of people from California, from Colorado, where they can't afford it.
Yeah, there were a couple of publications that recently named us like the number five or six.
I know.
Named us like this cool spot, like, you know, PDX and ATX and all that, and we're over here going, no, don't gentrify my neighborhood. I want to live in my house.
Really.
You know? I don't want to be priced out of my neighborhood. So, mm-hmm. yeah, we're going to end up like the Austin kids that walk around wearing T-shirts that say, don't move here.
We hate you. There's a billboard off of I-29 near the old Paseo Bridge, not too long ago, that stated that Kansas City actually has more arts organizations than Austin, Texas.
Yep.
And I didn't know that.
Yep, absolutely.
Hmm. Well, I do think that, we have a lot of things going on in the city, but I do think that getting everybody to know about it has always been a little bit of an issue. And so hopefully today we've helped bridge that gap a little bit.
And you can help support this community tonight. You know, you can make all this stuff in Texas happen. We need money.
And at the Brick, at what time?
The Brick, the doors are at 9, music starts at 10. And again, if you are playing my stage in Austin, I implore you to please grab your friends and come see me tonight. And I will just be so thankful that you're supporting your stage.
And so, Rhonda, what do you see for the coming year? What are the goals for the foundation?
I think just to continue to grow Abby's Fund, help more musicians. Like I said, we want to expand more into the substance abuse, maybe some designated programs for that, do more of the preventative care. So, you know, they don't wait until it is an emergency to come to us. So I think just continue what we're doing and just grow each year.
We've also been talking about looking into an actual brick and mortar, because the Midwest Music Foundation exists out of our trunks. Like, I have a stack of boxes in my house and in my trunk, and so does Rhonda. But we've actually been looking into grants and things that maybe would pay for us to actually have a space that... Mm-hmm. That would actually, where we could have our meetings and we could actually have a desk that isn't our personal desk that's covered with MMF everything. So mm-hmm. that's another thing, you know, in the next year or two, three, you know, we're looking to actually feel legitimized by an actual piece of brick around us, you know, so.
Well, you know, I knew that you would be great. Both of you would be great to have on the show, but I didn't even know half of all of the things that you're doing with your foundation. I mean, you're really making the city better.
I just want to say I love the name of the Midcoast Takeover, because it's the same attitude that led to the naming of the radio station.
Yeah, we know that, yeah.
And so is the Apocalypse Meow, is that something is that your big
yes.
thing that you have every year?
Yes.
Yeah, it's always the first weekend of November, and it's our largest fundraiser for Abby's Fund for the year.
Every penny of Apocalypse Meow goes into Abby's Fund, and that's where the grants that we give to musicians in healthcare crisis, that's where that money comes from.
And isn't that over multiple days? Or?
This year we did three, because it was Apocalypse Meow 10.
Oh,
it was the
10
year anniversary. Mm-hmm. So we did the step and repeat with the red carpet and the whole funny thing. And the mayor came, and somebody, Tony Laddish and his crew, made us a short documentary video, which turned out really well. Probably next year for year 11, we'll go back to 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be 2 days.
And so in those 2 days, how many bands?
Last year was...
We usually have two
nine,
or three the
eight.
First night, and then 6 to 10 the second night.
Okay. So how would people get in contact with your foundation? Do you have...
Through the website.
Okay.
You can email either one of us through the website.
Which would be...
MidwestMusicFoundation.org.
Okay, great. Well, I'm so glad that you, all of you, could join us today.
Thank
you. Also Casey and Isla.
Thank you very much.
And we just so appreciate the work that you ladies have been doing.
And we're just really glad that Molly could join us by phone, too.
Yes,
we
yes.
all wish
so
you the best,
yes,
Molly.
Yes, Molly. I mean, yeah, she sounds so great. I mean, she's so full of life and happy. And
very brave.
Yeah, yeah. It's wonderful. Well, I think that concludes the show today, and we have...
Sure. We have Urban Connections with Donna Wolf coming up, and then Guess Who's Coming to Kansas City with MC Richardson, and we'd like to thank you all for listening to Every Woman today, and you are listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and we'll send you off with a little bit of the Indigo Girls. How about that?